Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. Thank God. It will be a glorious day. We'll not be worrying any more about this world or the things of this world when we see the Lord. Praise God. We're glad to have been here tonight again. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Good we can come tonight, call upon the name of the Lord, and we know that no matter what's happening, prayer changes things. Prayer can change every situation, every circumstance. I've been listening to some tremendous messages this last couple of days, going back and forth to work. And so many miracles, cases, polio been healed. All sorts of miracles what the Lord's done. And the great thing is about it, he's Hebrews 13 and 8, he is still the same. Still the same, praise God. Let us turn to Acts 15. And I want to talk a little bit about new covenant circumcision, and I know it's an Old Testament thing, but I want to try and bring out something from that tonight of importance, and I just trust it'll bless us from the Word of God tonight. Verse 1 of Acts 15, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to the Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Peneas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Let's bow our heads tonight, and we have some prayer requests tonight. And if you have a request, just lift your hand up to the Lord while every head's bowed. God bless you. God bless you this evening. Praise God. I want to pray for Victoria tonight. She's had problems with her, the blood and light heads and different things. Sister Winifred's daughter. And also want to pray for Eileen Jones. She's had her car window smashed and a lot of things happening. That the Lord will just help her this time. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we have come in your name and we plead the precious blood of the Lamb of God over this house and every and each and every one in it in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the song we've been singing, What a Day That Will Be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Lord, we know, and it's been said many times, that Fanny Crosby, when she wrote the wonderful song, I shall know him, because she was blind, said she'll know you by the nail prints in your hands. Lord, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon you, and by your stripes, wounds, we are healed. And we bless you for it tonight. Lord, we thank you that you bear our sins in your own body on the tree, that we've been dead to righteousness, to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. You sent your word and healed them. We thank you tonight that you're alive. We thank you tonight that you're not Buddha, you're not Muhammad, or some other fake false prophet, but you rose from the dead on the third day, triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. And you say that you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, and you have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And you give Peter the keys of the kingdom. Lord, that's your name. That's the keys. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against every infirmity, every work of the devil over these lives. We rebuke the enemy's power in Jesus Christ's name. We pray for Victoria tonight that the blood count will change and that she'll get well from this time in Jesus Christ's name. We pray for dear Sister Eileen Jones that things will change around. Lord, that you'll open her understanding, that the Holy Ghost will flood her and fill her and renew her in Jesus' precious name. For others in this house with their hands raised, meet the need, Lord. You know what it is, so dear Lord, have your way and meet the need in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do. I bless you that the devil is defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. Just to say that we won't have the service, the hall here, for the next two Wednesday nights. There's too much fiddling about going on about the hall here. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Don't think I'm saying that in a bad way, but there's too many people coming and going even now. And the 12th, we won't have it anyhow. So the next 2 weeks, we won't have the hall on the Wednesday night. And then the Lord willing, we'll commence back after that. But we'll be here each Sunday, the Lord willing. Brother John, we're preaching this Sunday morning. Our brother Gary and family's away. Keep our brother Gary in prayers. He'll be preaching over in England. And Matthew will be in England as well. He's heading off Friday as well. He'll be in England. So there's a few people on holidays. So keep them in prayer. Praise God. And don't forget to pray for the services. Pray for Brother John for this Sunday and all the meetings. And Samuel's wee one wasn't too well on Sunday. My wee lad wasn't well either. So it's been going round a bit. So pray as well for all the children. The Lord will bless them and undertake for them. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. Amen. God is good every time. Here's a tremendous scripture, and I want to just talk briefly about the new covenant, circumcision, and here these Pharisees, these men brought this query to the disciples, to the apostles, and there's actually a mistake in the doctrine. Straight away, I can see it. I don't know if you can or not, but I can. Because circumcision never came by Moses. It came by Abraham, not Moses. The law came by Moses, but circumcision, God gave that specifically in the Abrahamic covenant. Not under the Mosaic covenant, but it came under the Abrahamic covenant, was circumcision, was a seal, a sign before God, and the Mosaic, Moses covenant continued it. But these men are using it against the apostles here, and they're quoting Moses, but no, Moses never brought it in. And a lot of people do that today with doctrines and scriptures, and they don't do it to bring you freedom. They do it to bring you into bondage. Is that right? But the Lord wants us to have freedom. Amen. Now, it was true. It was an Old Testament thing, but it was not needed in the New Testament. But you can type it. And we're going to look at it briefly this evening. And the brethren from Judea that followed Paul and caused much confusion among the Gentile churches, but saying that the Gentiles could not be saved, this is what they said, except they were circumcised after the manner of Moses. And that's who they quoted, Moses. The churches in Galatia especially were bewitched by these Judaizing teachers of the law in the epistle. And Paul had to deal with the matter of circumcision. And let's go to Galatians. And we'll see it in Galatians 1, verse 6, verse 11. Here's what it says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, yet these men forced the apostles to do it, but Paul, later on, preached the truth on it. How many knows that? But they made them do it. And there's so many doctrines today, if you don't believe it, the way our group says it, you'll not go in. Well, that's good. Well, we'll tell you what we'll do. We'll examine our group, whoever our group is, to the Word of God. Then we'll see if it stands or not. Because it could be wood, hay, and stubble. You see, the Bible says if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it won't stand the day of fire. We want to have it on the solid foundation. Verse 11 as well here. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Praise God. Galatians 6, verse 12 to 15. Galatians 6. As many as desire to make a first show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that you may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But you see, there is a changing of covenants. You have to remember when Jesus went to the cross and the apostles began to preach, there was a changing of covenants, and there was still some of the old habits was falling over. They were coming over with it, and they were preaching. How many knows even the great Martin Luther held on to some popish tradition? And then they're making no apologies for saying popish traditions, for that's what they were. And he held on to popish traditions, and he had a lot of things that were wrong. But it still doesn't do away with the fact that what he had was right. Amen. But you see, as time progresses, we're in the age now, for God has promised there's to be a full restoration of all. For God's to fully reveal us the Word of God. And we can never see the Word of God unless God reveals it. We'll never see it. We sometimes think, why can't they see that? Well, if God doesn't open their eyes, they'll never see it. Even a simple thing in water baptism, we can see it simply. It's easy to see it. And if you say, show me anywhere in the scripture where they're baptized in any other way other than the name of Jesus Christ, you can't see it nowhere. But yet people will argue with you. They'll go back to Matthew 28. And yet Matthew 28, it's not an argument for them. It's not even a case. Because the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name. But the title's not. The title's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But the name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 17. And I'm not going to turn to it. We have the detail of the rite. Now it's known as the rite of circumcision as given to Father Abraham. In fact, Stephen in his address before the Sanhedrin spoke of it as the covenant of circumcision in Acts 7 verse 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Now there's a reason why I'm showing you this. Now you could be sitting and saying, what's this all about? Well, if you listen, you're going to find out. There's a reason in it. And I'm going to prove to you from this circumcision, when you're saved, that's not just it. You need to get the Holy Ghost as well. And I'll show you as well from this Old Testament that they could not come round. They couldn't take the bread until they were circumcised. That showbread. They weren't allowed it. And if they weren't circumcised, that was the seal. They weren't allowed the bread. They couldn't eat it. Neither a Jew, born a Jew, wasn't allowed it, nor a stranger in the house wasn't allowed it until they were circumcised. And there's a revelation right there in that. Amen. We need to be saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Then we have communion with the Lord. And then we have that hidden manna we can receive from God. There's a hidden manna God can give you. But you need the Holy Spirit to open your understanding. The eye salve. The Bible talks about, how many know the Bible talks about the eye salve? For the eyes. And that eye salve comes by the Holy Spirit. The word covenant here is mentioned, you know, about 13 times in this chapter. And God called it my covenant, and it was to be an everlasting covenant. The covenant promises involved Abraham and Sarah becoming the father and the mother of nations, kings, and so forth would come out of their seed. And I've been preaching about that over the last few services, that God would make their seed like the stars of the heaven, the sand upon the seashore, from Abraham and from Sarah, praise God. Now the token, sign, or seal of the covenant, that's what it is, It's a seal, it's a sign of the covenant, would be the rite of circumcision. That's what it's called, the rite of circumcision. And the flesh of every male that was ever born in the house brought in, even if it was a stranger brought into a Jewish house, they had to be circumcised, and there was a certain time you had to do it. You didn't do it willy-nilly. You done it on the eighth day. And not only did you circumcise them on the eighth day, they never got their name until they were circumcised. And once you were circumcised in the flesh, on the eighth day, there was a bleeding. There was the blood. There was a cutting off. So there was the blood cutting off. There was the blood. Then there was a naming. And the Bible says you're born of the water and of the Spirit. There's the blood and there's a cutting off. When you're born again, you're cut off from the things of the world. You're spiritually circumcised. There's cut off from you. All the works of the flesh that you had before, they're cut off. You're a new creature. Amen. And you're receiving, you have a new name. How many knows you have a new name? And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's perfectly right there in the Old Testament. You can preach it. And yet it's an Old Testament. But remember, everything from the Old Testament comes into the new. It's a prefigure of something greater, more excellent. Just as all the tabernacle trimmings and bits was speaking of Christ. And Christ was far greater. Amen. They were parts and parcels, but when that which is perfect, that's the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when people talk about that which is perfect, come, we know it's the coming of the Lord. We know it's the coming of the Lord. I know a lot of people say it's a message. That which is perfect, it comes a message. Well, if that's the case, then why are they all falling out with each other? Amen. Praise God. Maybe you just don't say it like that, but never worry about it anyhow. It's not important about messages or anything. But the important thing is the Lord's coming. How many believes that? Amen. No matter what group you're under, if you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're gone. The Lord's not worried about a name. He's looking for the blood tie. Amen. He's looking for this sign. And just as they had a sign in the flesh, if they didn't have the sign in the flesh, they couldn't even come to take the bread. They couldn't come to the table, as it were. And God's people are sealed. The token, the sign, the rite. Circumcision had a great religious covenantal significance from this time on. And in due time, all nations would be divided into two ethnic groupings. Did you know that? This is going back to the Old Testament. Chosen nations, Israel, and all other nations, Gentiles. Paul specifies the two ethnic groupings as circumcision and uncircumcision. And there's two groups today. And the two groups today is the saved and the unsaved. That's it. And you can forget about everything else. There's just two groups. And there's two spirits as well. There's the Holy Spirit and there's Satan's spirit. The unholy spirit, the satanic spirit. And one spirit is a spirit of obedience and the other spirit produces disobedience. And all disobedience and lawlessness comes from the devil himself. For he's the first one that done it. He broke all he could break and he wrecked all he could wreck. And his spirit works like that. But the Holy Spirit's holy. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, you know, when you've got the real Holy Spirit, you'll be accountable. You won't be willy-nilly and you'll be accountable. How many knows a lot of people are willy-nilly in the day? They're playing with Christianity. They're fiddling about. But God's coming for a people that's ready. Revelation says the bride's made herself ready. As a brother Gary says, and I used to preach it and say it many times years ago, when the rapture takes place, we don't want to be caught on, we want to be caught up. Amen. Caught up to be with the Lord. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You see, we were heathens. That's what we were, you see. The Jews were God's people. Now you have to read into this and you have to understand the Bible and you have to hear Paul. You see, when a fellow tells you we don't need Paul, there's only one piece of advice I can give you. You don't need to hear him twice. That would be enough. It's the same as a man that doesn't preach the blood. You don't need to hear him twice either. That's enough. Because Paul is the man that shows us in Romans that the Jews are blinded for a season and for a reason, so that us, which were the wild olive branch, could be grafted in and be part of Christ. And we were the wild olive branch that was grafted in. Now you're going to have to do your homework to understand the preaching. You're going to have to be reading Romans. And that's my point of it. I want to stir you up so that you read the Bible. Yes, there's too much reading of our things. We need to read the Bible, the Word of God. Yes. And I tell you, there's plenty in it for to read, praise God. Yes. Amen. Galatians 2, verse 7 and 9. But otherwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostolic ship of circumcision, the same also wrought mighty in me toward Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we would go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. I bear this for a moment. Paul is going to the Gentiles and Peter is going to the Jew. Am I right? Right? But let's not forget what God done with Peter. Because you see, this is the same today. People can be blinkered. Preachers and all can be blinkered. And they can go like that, I know it all, and you'll tell me nothing. And Peter knew it all, and you'll tell me nothing too. Because Peter was sent to the Jews, not the Gentiles, but he came in a vision on the housetop. And God said to him in the vision, what do you see? And he says, all manner unclean things. And him being the Jew he was, and the circumcision, and following the law, couldn't touch it or eat it. And the voice said to him, don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. God gave him a revelation. And God gave him a revelation against his own thinking. And the right way, many times of God, is the opposite to what you think in your head. That's why the Bible says we're to cast on down all reasoning. And we're to put on the mind of God. And we need the Lord's mind. Because we could have a mind to do it a certain way. And God could say, no, that's not the way it is. You remember when William Branham, if you listen to him preaching them church ages and them seals, and he comes to the platform and he said, I had it all worked out how I was for bringing it. But when the angel came, he said, that's all wrong. What do you have there? But this here's the right way. And he says, he took me to the Word of God and corrected me. And he names all the men that he was following and writing about. And there every one of them had mistakes. But God had to give them it direct.
Yes, Lord.
And I tell you, and he would tell you himself, he had it all figured out, but he was wrong. And we can have it figured out, but remember, when we figure it out, you need to make sure it's God. And God showed Peter. But Peter knew when it was the Lord. That's the other side of it. He knew when it was the Lord, and he knew the Holy Spirit had moved, and God had moved, and he obeyed. Thank God he obeyed. And the Lord really used him. Isn't that right? Isn't that amazing? You see, it's hard for us to get our heads around, but you have to think of the stanchness of what these people were in at this time. Christ had just died. They were coming out of an old covenant into the new covenant of the cross. Now there's three things were involved in this rite of circumcision. These three things, I've already briefly mentioned them. The cutting of the flesh of the meal, shedding of the blood. Because of it, by reason of the instrument used for the rite, there was bloodshed. You know that even Jesus himself went through it? How many knows that? Jesus himself was circumcised 8 days old. Now how many knows the account of Simeon? He said, let me see the Lord's Christ before I die. And that old blind prophet was led by the Holy Spirit right to the temple, right to the Lord on the circumcision day. How many knows that? That's the Bible. Hallelujah. God never makes one mistake. So there's a cutting off of the flesh. And you can look at that tonight when you're saved, when you're really born again, there's a cutting off of the old. There's a cutting off, and there's a coming into Christ. And there's a blood. There's a birth takes place. There's no birth without blood. And there's no birth without water. And there's no birth without life. Blood, water, and spirit. There's a birth takes place. And even in the natural, when the wee baby's born and it comes forth and it's spanked in the bum, it screams out. Because its new life has come forth. And I tell you, there's, you know, you hear of a stillborn baby. How many knows what that means? There's no scream. And that's what's happening a lot spiritually. But there has to be some sort of a scream. The Holy Ghost will make you do something. I can tell you that. You really get the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about shouting for the sake of it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real thing. Amen. The rite took place on the eighth day after the meal. Child's birth. That's the second thing. The third thing. The name of the child also took place as well. Isaac and Jesus amplify these things. Jesus and Isaac both. Let's read it in Genesis 21, verse 1 to 5. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Now we saw the other night, it started off with impossibility, but God done it. And remember Genesis 18. Everybody quotes Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday as a miracle, but it's more than that. When you quote Hebrews 13 and 8 from now on, think of this. You need to go back to Genesis 18. And when you go back to Genesis 18, you have one standing at the tent door with his back to the tent. And he tells Abraham everything with his back to the tent. He's called Melchizedek. And you know who Melchizedek is. A lot of preachers don't even know who he is. But we know who he is, don't we? God made himself a body and he stepped into it. Just like he made a temple and he stepped into it, that was Jesus. Because he says, I'll come to my temple. And he had no father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. And you can go right back to Genesis 18, he's the same. What did he do then? He can do now. And we, when you think of it as well, you can preach the second coming of the Lord from it. Think of this for a moment. God promises Abraham the coming of the Son. And he waits for years, but the Son comes. And we've been promised the coming of the Son. And we've been waiting for years, but the Son's coming. Amen. Just in the natural, so's the spiritual. Verse 2, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham's son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him Isaac, and Abraham circumcised the son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. So you see, Abraham is before Moses, and Abraham has this covenant of circumcision before Moses has it. Moses continues it, but it was not given to Moses, it was given to Abraham. The law was given to Moses. Then you could look at Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. You've moved even on again. Something even greater. And Abraham circumcised in verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years of age. What do you think of that? That's not powerful. That's the power of God. That's what God's able to do. Somebody said, oh, but it's different today. It's not one bit different. And if you start to talk, it's different today. That's unbelief. That's all it is, I'll tell you that now. Now, people lived older then. I don't care how long they lived then. If God wanted to do it today, God could still do it. And if you say he couldn't do it, then you're saying he's changed. He can still do it. God can do anything. How many believes that? God is able to do anything. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Acts 7 verse 8. Acts 7 verse 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And this is just examples where they've done it. Luke 2, 21. This is about the Lord Jesus. And when 8 days were accomplished with the circumcision, the child's name was called Jesus. Now, you know the name was given even before that, because the angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a son, you call his name Jesus. Savior. Isaiah 9:6. Wonderful, mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. There we are. Amen. Government shall be upon his shoulders. But on the eighth day it was done. So they never got the name until they got the circumcision. And when you get born again, something takes place. Something happens when you're born again. These things had the great significance in the mind of God, even if the seed of Abraham did not fully understand it, and they probably didn't. How would they? But a great significance. And when that threefold act of circumcision was accomplished, the child was in the covenant relationship. Listen this closely. The child, after circumcising, it gets the name, cutting off the flesh, gets the name, it comes into covenant relationship with God. Outside of circumcision, outside of cutting of the flesh, and it's not in covenant relationship with God. And somebody that's not really born is not in relationship with God. They're still children of the devil. That's the Bible. They've no rights. But you are in relationship with the Lord. How many knows it? Now God can answer a sinner. We know that. And he can do something for them. We know that. I'm not saying he can't. But I hope you're understanding what I'm meaning here tonight. They're in relationship. But you're in relationship because you're born again. As they were in a covenant relationship, you're in a relationship with God. Another uncircumcised seed heard the promise and privileges of the Abrahamic covenant. So even a child that wasn't a Jew that they adopted in or brought in, if it went through the process, it had all the rights. Even though it wasn't of the same family, if it was brought in, if a stranger into that house, they'd done the same things with it, it came into the blessing. And a Jewish child that it didn't happen with never came into the blessing. So because one would say, well, I'm a Jew by birth, it made no difference. They had to come by the way of right, which was circumcision. And a man or woman today could claim, I belong to this, I belong to that. But there's a right, that's the cross. They have to be born again, or they're not in fellowship with God. Except the man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. There's a right, there's a coming. So important was the right that God sought to kill Moses even after calling him, because he failed to bring his sons into covenant relationship. Moses did. You say, where's the scripture for it? Exodus 4, 24 to 26. And it came to pass by the way in that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Is that your Bible as well? It's in mine. Somebody said, that's a mistake. There's no mistakes in this Bible. If there is, we're making rid of it. There's not a one in it. This is here for a reason. Then Sapphira took a sharp stone. How many knows that's Moses' wife? And cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. And so he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now you know William Branham preached the whole message from this text here. And circumcision is a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many knows that? It's a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For Paul says it's no longer circumcision of the flesh, but the heart of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now let me put it across to you tonight like this. And I remember I preached this similar in Africa many years ago. Many people that were with Moses saw the power of God with Moses. Is that right? But they were all circumcised. And they went with Moses when they come to the Red Sea. They crossed it. They partook of the manna in the wilderness and so forth. But 40 years elapsed from these things happened. And in the 40 years, a new generation come in that wasn't circumcised. And they didn't have the right that Moses and the original group had until they got circumcised. And many times we refer back to William Branham Jack Cole and all these wonderful men that had the Holy Ghost. But a generation has long passed. And we need the same experience from God that they had. That we might see the power of God in our day and in our time. Are you seeing what I'm saying now tonight? What they did was wonderful. We can look to it. We can rejoice in it. We can tell our children and children's children. But we need the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Ghost today, just like they had. The exact same experience. And we cannot claim to be an apostolic group or an apostolic believing people if we don't have our own Pentecostal experience, an upper room experience, like the first church had. That's why these men saw so much of the power of God. I just recently got the book of Alexander Dye. How many's heard of him? Alexander Dye. Well, I'm going to tell you a couple of things about him. I know everybody can say the false stuff. That won't worry me one bit. He was jailed 100 times. Now, Jack Cole was jailed as well. I don't know how many times Jack Cole was jailed, a lot of times. Now, I know you. I want you to hear this for a moment. Do you know why they were jailed? Them two men? There's no fear of too many of the day getting jailed for the same reason. If there is, I want you to take me where they are. Because I'm going to their meetings. I've canceled my own. And I'm serious. Absolutely serious. John, that man was jailed 100 times because he practiced a medicine without a license. So many people were healed in his meetings. Dowie discovered what they had at Pentecost, he could have. Exactly the same. And when he discovered it and he started to seek God, now built Illinois, a big place over in America there, and there was a lot of stuff followed on. That's all right, people condemn that. But come with me in a journey for 5 minutes here. Alexander Dowie was mightily used of God that he was jailed 100 times. Because of the miracles that happened under his hands. Amen. Out of his ministry came John G. Lake, to name one. And that's only one of many that come out from under his ministry. And they taught to go to houses and heal the people like the disciples did. Amen. They taught it and it worked. Jack Cole was jailed as well. Jack Cole was jailed as well for practicing the medicine without a license. Now my time's up and I'm going to have to close and I haven't preached hardly anything. I'm telling you this is the truth. We're well below where we should be. I'm not condemning nobody, but it's like a brother Brian preached, the blue magics are stuff. What would you want the fake dose for? If you're going to get high right. Don't get half high. If a drunkard's going to get drunk, he doesn't get half drunk, he gets drunk. Is that right? He gets himself blundered. Now all I'm saying is we need a real dose of the Holy Ghost. A real dose of it. And we need to be praying for it and seeking God for it. Jack Cole, I heard the story many years ago for the young boy. And she said, son, you need to go down to them meetings. She was listening to Cole's meetings on the radio. And she says, son, you need to go down and see what's happening. I can't go. She had a condition called stone. Her legs were stone. She couldn't walk. She couldn't move. Now you say, I wonder what that condition is. Well, Brother Mark can tell you there's a man lives below where I'm living now. And he had the ice condition. Isn't that right, brother? Frozen man syndrome. Couldn't move a step. Couldn't do nothing. But one doctor, Rackett, diagnosed his case. Was fit to cure him. And he was up and about in no time. And he hadn't moved for a long time. You see? So this woman had the stone condition. And her son was sent down to one of Jack Cole's meetings. And he come back home and the mom says, well, what do you think? And he says, Mom, I'm telling you, the power of God's working down there. People's getting healed. There's really something to it. So she called her Methodist minister. And she said, the Methodist minister, Jack Cole said, the Methodist minister wasn't like a whole lot of Methodist ministers would be today. He took his Bible out and he said, yes, there's proof in the scripture for healing the day. And he quoted her James, and he quoted her Mark 16. Was that wonderful? So she went down, they took her down the wheelchair to the meeting, and she got forth to Jacko, and Jacko laid his hands on her, and the power of God went through her. And she got out of the wheelchair, and she wheeled the wheelchair home. And when she got home, the son got on the phone to the doctor, and he says, "Dr. Hardy, Mama's walking." And he says, "Mama who?" And he gave it, maybe she was Hardy. "Mrs. A. Hardy's walking." And he says, "What did they do?" Tell her. And he tells the whole story. And he says, "Don't do a thing till I get over there quick." And he came over and he put her through the whole process with Jacko done. How Jacko laid his hands on her and shock went through her. And he said, "That's when he gave you the shot. That's when he gave the injection." And Mrs. Hardy says, "Well, doctor, you've been treating me for years and you never give me a shot like that shot." Hallelujah. She got the shot and it was the Holy Ghost. God healed her. But I'm telling you, brothers, tonight we need the power of God. And this wee country, we all so often say we're blessed here in Northern Ireland. We are, but we're cursed as well. And I'll tell you why. It's full of unbelief. There's so much tradition in this country. There's hardly another country where tradition like this country, when you want to practice healing ministry and deliverance ministry. My wee man didn't believe it. And my wee group and my wee church, that's all you hear. And we don't this and we don't that. And our pastor and his pastor and her pastor and somebody else's pastor. I tell you, we need a breakthrough. Let's come and pray tonight. I've talked long enough. Let's come and pray tonight that God will move. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We bless you that your word will not return unto you void, but it'll accomplish and prosper in the thing you send it to. Lord, you promised that you'd keep an eye on your own word. It won't return unto you void. You'd watch over it and perform it and bring it to pass. Lord, we know you are truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I pray you'll deliver us from tradition of men, from churchiosity and religiosity. Give us freedom of the Holy Spirit, freedom of the Holy Ghost, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll begin to move on these meetings in a mightier way, in a greater way. I pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Invite the Holy Spirit to move. Invite the Holy Spirit to move through lives, move through our bodies, and quicken us by the mighty power of God, that the cripples will be straightened and that miracle signs and wonders will begin to take place. Lord, we even heard the other week of that man with a cancer when they opened him up and they couldn't find one bit of it. You're a wonderful working God, a miracle working God. You're a savior. You're a healer. You're a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And you're a coming king. We bless you tonight. Lord Jesus, we praise your lovely name tonight. Oh God, give us more of the power of the Holy Ghost. More of an unction that will break yokes and destroy them. In the name of Jesus Christ, break yokes over our sons, over our daughters. Deliver them. Save them and set them free. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for men and women with all that's sitting in tradition tonight. We pray you'll bring them out of tradition. Into Christ Jesus, we pray in the name of the Lord tonight. Lord, move on the husband, move on the wife, the brother, the sister, the aunt, the uncle, the niece, the nephew, the son, the daughter. Save them and deliver them, we pray. Oh God, we speak into situations tonight. We pray the power of God into them. We pray you'll move on that young man, Beatty. Lord, that he'll come out of that hospital, he'll live and not die. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Lord, save him and heal him, Lord, and raise him up in Jesus' precious name. Father, move amongst every one of us. Bless our brother Gary as he goes. Bless Sister Ruth and all the boys and the girls, and just give them traveling mercies. Give them a great time with Brother Frank. I pray the power of God will move. We pray for Brother John for this Sunday of the Abbot's Tory. We pray you'll move in this place. Oh God, move in these meetings. Let the power of God come. Let the power of God move. Lord, fill us again. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to be under expectation for the miraculous moving of the mighty hand of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you're going to do. We bless you. You've never changed. You said, I'm the Lord thy God. I am changed not, you sons of Jacob. We bless you tonight for it, that you're the I am, not the I was or will be. You are the I am. Lord, bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Bless us. Help us to seek you. Help us to pray. Lord, when we don't know what to pray, the word of God says the Spirit helpeth us to pray in our infirmities. Help us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray again for the widows of this fellowship, for every one of them. You bless them, strengthen them. Be everything they need, their comfort, their strength, their finance, their everything, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. For others, praying in secret, needing an answer, needing guidance, I pray the Holy Ghost will move and answer their prayer and meet their every need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.